You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
You've had a long day at work, and you can't wait to just get home, take off your shoes, plop yourself down in your favorite chair, and relax. You walk up to your tranquil residential home and your neatly manicured lawn in your quiet suburban neighborhood, put the key in the lock, open the door, and... Yes, the pets have gone wild! What were you thinking? Welcome to the show about everything you always wanted to know about exotic pets. Where to get them, what to feed them, and how to care for them. You'll even find out why some people live with a monkey. Now, here's your host, exotic pet expert and author, Bob Tart. Hey, Bob, what were you thinking?
Hi, I'm Bob Tart, author of the books Enslaved by Ducks, Foul Weather, and my latest book, Kitty Cornered. And we have got a wonderful guest on this week. I've really been looking forward to speaking with her. We're going to get to her in just a second. I want to mention that the next episode of What Were You Thinking, it's going to start a 3-episode series of podcasts, which I call The Biggest Week in American Podcasting. And that's only because book character Bill Holm and I went to McGee Marsh for The Biggest Week in American Birding, and we're kind of stealing the title. So Bill also helped me with a talk on my book Kitty Cornered at a library in the Ann Arbor area. And what I'm hoping to do, we had so many good stories about cats from the audience, is that when that third podcast comes up, I'm hoping I can cut myself out of it as much as possible and just have folks in the audience tell their story. So I'll have to check my recording and see if the acoustics are good enough for that. But that would be a great episode of What Were You Thinking with hardly any of me at all. And on that note, I'm going to now talk to just a fantastic person, a wonderful writer and illustrator named Lauren Scheuer, and she is author of a book called Once Upon a Flock, Life with My Soulful Chickens. And I have to say, when that book came into our house, I made the mistake of showing it to Linda, and I could not pry it out of her fingers to read it myself for a few days, because she really kind of nursed it along to keep it going and to really savor it. And once I got a hold of it, I did the same thing. I was just so wowed by the presentation. And we're going to get into that with Lauren, because this doesn't look or read like any other book that you've ever picked up before. It's really in a class all by itself. I'll tell you a little bit about Lauren. She writes the popular blog Scratch and Peck, very appropriately. She's a graduate of UCLA Fine Art, and she's taught at the Massachusetts College of Art and Design, and she has illustrated more than a dozen books. Lauren's artwork has appeared on puzzles, games, paper goods, greeting cards, and more. She lives in rural Massachusetts with her husband, their teenage daughter, their terrier Marky, and a flock. I'm reading the book jacket. It says, a flock of remarkable individuals. We're not even calling them hens because they're just too developed for that. You can visit Lauren's website at laurenscheuer.com, S-C-H-E-U-E-R. Hey, Lauren, how you doing?
Hi there. Great. How are you, Bob?
Great. Thanks so much for joining me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, this is very exciting, talking with another guy who's enslaved by all of his critters.
Oh, good grief, yes. And you probably know what I'm talking about. There is barely a moment of the day that isn't concerned with some kind of schedule for the animals, one way or another.
But it doesn't have to really be that way in my case, but I just make it that way.
Well, yeah, exactly. We could just put them in a room and shut the door.
Right, or let the chickens out in the morning and put them back at night.
But you told me that you have some new ones in the house right now.
I do. What I love about having a small flock of pet chickens is that chickens come and chickens go, and so you lose some beloved flock members, but then you get to add to your flock. And this is the year I'm adding 4 babies to my flock, and I have 4 little chicks in a cardboard box in the living room.
Judging from what happened in Once Upon a Flock, they're not only going to stay in your house for a day or two. they're going to be there for a little while before they get moved outdoors, aren't they?
Well, in this case, I learned my lesson with Once Upon a Flock. I had them in the house way too long. I didn't realize what a bunch of farm animals in your living room can to do to the whole house.
Oh, yeah. We at one point had a couple of convalescing turkeys in our basement. And so I'm with you on there. It was interesting when the people came to deliver salt to our water softener and they found turkeys in the basement. But I love the part of Once Upon a Flock, speaking of these baby chicks in your house, where your daughter Sarah, do you remember?
Sarah was, I think, 12.
And she gave them a little musical treat.
Yes, she has a little acoustic guitar. And my husband and she like to play guitar, and she picked up her guitar that first evening and sat on a stool in front of the box of chicks and serenaded them, and they fell right to sleep. It was very cute.
I don't know why it reminds me of years ago, my wife and I were at a folk music festival, and there was this wonderful Tejano musician, Santiago Jimenez Jr., and he's just this accordion wizard. And we happened to see him walking around the festival later, and Linda ran up to him and said, "Oh, I play accordion too. I play it for our rabbit Binky." And he didn't really know what to make of that. So I'm wondering if there's any more guitar serenading coming up for this.
Actually, my husband did just the other night. In fact, he was working at home one day, and I was, of course, carrying a chick around the house in my hand, and this one was Scarlett, was her name. And I took her upstairs just to peek in to his office to say hi. And he looked over his shoulder and saw the chick in my hand and immediately grabbed his guitar, which was right next to him, and played a couple of little chords. And again, quietly enough that I couldn't see the chick, but he was looking at her while he was playing. And I said, "What's she doing?" He said, "She's asleep."
Wow, so it's almost a reflex with your family members that they see a chicken and they reach for a stringed instrument. Well, this book, I have never seen a format like this before, and you are just this brilliant writer and illustrator and photographer, and everything is mixed together. I want to say that to see this much of a ratio of illustrations to text, you would have to generally read a children's book,
right?
But that doesn't do it justice. Not that there's anything wrong with a children's book, but I don't want to steer any adults away from this book. And to me, it's a totally different kind of format. I wonder if you might talk a little bit about that.
Well, thank you. And I'm an illustrator by trade. I've been an illustrator for, I don't know, 200 years or so. I can't remember. And illustrating for children. But this book, the story I needed to tell is a story I wanted to tell to adults. It's the story of what happened in my house and in my yard with these unbelievable characters who I thought were just going to be a handful of birds who are just kind of trotting around eating bugs and pooping out eggs. And they took me by surprise, and I began writing the story as a blog because I knew I needed, it was a story I had to tell. I felt very passionate about this story. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll start it as a blog because I don't really know how to write anyway. But I do know how to illustrate, and I was drawing pictures of my chickens as often as I was gardening with them or anything else. And so I had all this artwork. I thought, well, you know, I'll just put in a few drawings, put in a few photos to add interest, and then add a few words and tell my story in the blog. So I began the story there. And I feel that, especially with blogging, the more pictures you give and the fewer words, the better, because nobody has time to sit down and read paragraph upon paragraph of a blog post. So I've incorporated images and words from the start in the blog, and it seemed to work very well. And when I began writing it as a book, I thought, I have to have this many images because sometimes there are no words for what I'm talking about, and a picture works a lot better.
I love, in some cases, I mean, you change your style of drawing through the book. I mean, sometimes it's just kind of a simple, almost gesture drawing, and other times it's a little more detailed. I'm thinking, for instance, I'm looking at the flap where your bio is, and right under it there's, looks like a quick sketch with watercolor of four hens.
Right.
And it is just hilarious. It's very simple, but it just, the body language, it's just humorous, and it just perfectly captures the way that chickens are. I just love it.
They're so entertaining, and they're basically just a triangle, you know, or a circle with a triangle at each end. So, I mean, they're comical to watch, you know, they're comical to have in your backyard, and they're so fun to draw.
Yeah.
So, it just kind of came out, the cartoony images of them. And other times, Other times I guess I do draw a little more detail. And then still other times I have the photo at one point toward the end when my bird pigeon looked up at the garden and saw Little White, this golden beauty walking among the irises. For the first time, she discovered this beautiful chicken walking along, and I decided that, well, I think I need to do a photo of the irises, and then I'll draw the little chicken in there. So I started adding artwork to the photos, or adding photos to the artwork, and that all worked too. So the book is kind of a little jumble of different kinds of imagery. Its placement was most important to me because there's a way that it needs to flow.
Oh, yeah, it really... So. It really pushes the narrative along, and narrative...
sometimes it's a small book, and sometimes there are four or five images on one page. And I remember when I was doing the artwork and the photos and sending them in willy-nilly to the creative department at Simon & Schuster, I thought, oh my gosh, these people are going to just despise me because there are over 400 images in this book. But they promised they didn't hate me.
Well, I love what you were talking about, the combination of photos where you... Is it painting that you're doing on the photos?
But actually, I do it with Photoshop.
Right.
I do it all on the computer.
Right. That's great. You use a tablet or something?
Yeah, I use this... it's called a Wacom tablet.
Right.
So I have this tablet on my lap and a little pen that doesn't have any... There's no ink or nib in it. It's just a plastic pen that I draw on this tablet, and the artwork shows up right there on my screen. So I'm drawing on the tablet but looking at the screen
yeah.
the whole time. It's very fun.
Yeah, and you really have this hand-drawn look to it, so it's nothing like people would think of so-called computer-generated art or anything.
No, my art has always been speedy, because I have such a short attention span. I draw it fast and I move on, and I think my writing tends to be that way too, so the blog style has worked for me, and the book is kind of written in that style too. Several people have told me the book works really well for them because they have, you know, when you have a short attention span, you need a quick, lively read, and that's what this is.
Yeah, there's a lot of energy to the text and to the illustration, so it's really...
Thank you. And people also have told me that they couldn't find their book. It just got in the book, couldn't find it, and went into their kids' room and found it on the nightstand.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And their children have snatched it up and read it and enjoyed it as well. A friend said that she was tucking her little girl in last night, her 8-year-old daughter, and her daughter was crying and sniffling under the covers, and she thought, oh, her brothers must have been driving her crazy again, and said, what's wrong, honey? And her daughter said, oh, I'm so sad because Hattie died. And it was a portion in the book that was very, very sad. And so when my friend told me this, she said, you know, her daughter was crying her eyes out. I thought, wow, an 8-year-old. I didn't mean to write this for an 8-year-old, but it's kind of beautiful that an 8-year-old was moved by the story.
Yeah, me too. Well, we have to take a break for some words from our sponsors. And I will be right back with Lauren Scheuer, the very talented author and illustrator of Once Upon a Flock, Life with My Soulful Chickens.
What Were You Thinking? We'll be right back after Bob gets the ducks out of his living room. Don't go away.
Dog Shelter Blues, the new novel by Mark Conkling. This hard-hitting story lights up the world of animal rescue with engaging characters and their pets, struggling with their own internal demons as they attempt to rescue innocent creatures that sometimes bring a mysterious transforming power to broken lives. Read the first chapter of Dog Shelter Blues free at dogshelterblues.com. Then come along a breathtaking journey that ends with an astonishing triumph of good over evil. Order your copy of Dog Shelter Blues today. Available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Ever wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a 4-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit PetLifeRadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Are you crazy about cats? If so, check out The World is Your Litter Box, Deluxe Edition. This clever how-to manual for cats, written by a cat named Quasi, contains more laughs than should be allowable in one book, and is poignantly underscored by the combative yet loving relationship between Quasi and his human. The World is Your Litter Box, Deluxe Edition, is guaranteed to have you laughing your tail off. So, treat yourself to a copy today. Available from Amazon.
Welcome to Bird's Eye View on Pet Life Radio. I am Dr. Lori Hess, here with Dr. Michelle Ravitch, and we are both bird and exotic animal veterinarians. We work at the Veterinary Center for Birds and Exotics, an all-bird and exotic pet hospital in Bedford Hills, New York. And this is a show all about birds. It's a Bird's Eye View, and we hope you'll tune in soon.
Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, ducks are in the pond, rabbits in his hutch, and monkeys.
Oh, in my car!
Oh, okay, well, I go check my insurance policy. We'll turn you back over to Bob.
Hi, we're back again with author Lauren Scheuer talking about Once Upon a Flock, Life with My Soulful Chickens. We haven't talked too much about the content of the book, and I guess really kind of the logical place to go, since we only have 15 minutes now, time is really flying, is Lucy is really the center of the book, I would say, wouldn't you?
She is, yeah.
So maybe let's talk a little bit just about Lucy's illness, because that's kind of where everything happens, and this is not a sad story I want to tell everybody.
No, it's 99% hilarious, I hope.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, especially the story of Lucy, when I say illness, that you have neighbors helping you, you have all kinds of great things, so...
Oh, it was bizarre. Lucy came down with an illness called Merrick's disease, and looking back, I think she also had rickets.
Well, and Lucy was a barred rock hen?
Yep, she's a barred Plymouth rock. She's still out there in my coop looking in at me right now. But she's a big, gorgeous, black and white speckled hen who one day when she was about 6 months old couldn't walk. And I thought, okay, something's wrong with my bird. Now what do I do? And my daughter said, oh, Mom, we got to take her to the vet right away. And I thought, I can't take a chicken to a vet. All we have is a dog and cat vet. That they would laugh at me. You know. So I told Sarah, well, let's give it a day or two. Maybe she's got a splinter in her foot. She'll probably be okay tomorrow. The next day, not only could she not walk, she could barely sit up and she could hardly breathe. So we ended up finding a farm vet took Lucy on over, and the vet said this was a neurological problem and she probably won't be surviving. So we brought Lucy into the house and made our peace with that diagnosis and made her comfortable on the kitchen floor, and every day she kept living. So we found ourselves with a special needs hen sitting on the floor in our kitchen. She couldn't move, but she was an awfully nice house guest.
Yeah. And I love the photos of her in the house. It's beautiful.
She's stunning anyway. This black and white speckled coloring and her bright red comb. And, of course, it was kind of gray then while she was ill. But she would sit in the kitchen and watch me cook dinner, and she would chat with me like my grandmother used to chat with me. Just all exchanging pleasantries, like, oh? I'd say, oh, yeah, here I am. I'm stirring the pasta right now. And Lucy would say, oh. And just like my grandma, I've never really said much, but kept the conversation going in a polite kind of way. And so little by little, Lucy and I bonded. And she's, like I said, she's still here. She's 5 years old. She is still a special needs hen, but her story... And I guess our bond is what I needed to write about, because she brought me, kind of dragged me into the coop and made me part of the flock because she needed me.
But I don't want people to be left with the idea that she could never walk again, because she actually has had a remarkable life and was quite mobile, thanks to you and also to the neighbors who helped you.
Yeah, we left town. Here we were leaving town for this big, wonderful vacation that we suddenly had this opportunity for. And I knew that I could have someone take care of the dog and somebody take care of the garden and the chickens, but I had a chicken here who couldn't walk and could barely even reach her food and water. She needed constant attention, and I thought, oh no. But I called a couple of friends and immediately found friends who were thrilled to come over here a couple times a day and check on Lucy. But what I didn't expect was, when I came back from Spain with my family 10 days later, Lucy was walking again. Not perfectly and not painlessly, but she had improved while we were gone, because friends came over. One of my friends is a physical therapist, and she actually did physical therapy with Lucy, and Trish taught Beth how to do physical therapy with Lucy. So these two, Lucy had loving attention several times a day for 10 days, and she was able again. And it absolutely floored me she was getting better, this was wonderful, but what really did blow me away was that when Trish came over to check on Lucy the day we got back, she sat down on the lawn with Lucy and me, and she explained to me that she had fallen madly in love with this chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And she validated my feelings. Well, I thought I was insane. I was really kind of embarrassed and didn't even want to admit that this bird means a whole lot to me.
Yeah.
I had fallen in love with a chicken. I just never expected that. I guess things can blindside you that way. I thought chickens were, the farm animals. They walk around and they scratch in the dirt and they eat bugs and they lay eggs and that's that. But they are so much more.
The thing that kind of amazed me about birds is that you expect a dog or a cat to bond with you because we're all mammals.
Yeah.
But it's something kind of out of left field when it happens with a bird.
It is, and it's an honor.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the other thing is that dogs and cats are predators, and so are humans, basically. We all have our eyes in the front of our heads, and we're all mammals who, most of us eat critters, But chickens are prey, and your ducks are prey, and they have a whole different view of the world and a different way of feeling safe in this world where they know how delicious they are to everyone,
What I think is funny is our ducks always seem a little bit skittish around me, no matter how long I've known them. And we have a goose that we've had since like 1995, Haley. I wrote about her in Enslaved by Ducks, and she's one of the few animals that are still around from that book.
Wow.
And they're just always just a little bit nervous around me when I'm moving among them. But I have not noticed that with the hens. I mean, the hens, sometimes when we had more than we have now, when I'd go into the barn in these narrow areas, I'd have to kind of wade through them.
Oh, yeah. Because
they would be gathering to greet me, because to some extent they saw me as a walking treat dispenser. I have to admit that's part of it.
Exactly, but probably also because your shoelaces look like worms, and because you're, and I think my friend Beth has ducks too, and hers run from her as well, and even though they adore her too, and they sit on her lap and get hugs and kisses, but I think chickens have a curiosity about them, maybe more of a bond as a flock than ducks do. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is either. I wonder if some of it is that chickens have been bred for docility to some extent, because unfortunately they're just kind of egg-laying machines for, a certain segment.
Right, so they've been domesticated.
I've heard some breeds like Isa Browns are known more as a calm breed. So I don't know, maybe that's it, whereas people don't usually, farmers or the industry or whatever, I don't even like to talk about it, but they don't keep them around as egg layers. So I don't know, maybe part of it has to do with breeding. But
those breeds, I got my Buff Orpington because I was told that they are the kindest, sweetest, most pleasant breed to have. And she turned out to be a sociopathic lunatic.
I was going to say, I have had other people tell me that they thought Buff Orpingtons were aggressive.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
And mine, I wouldn't call her aggressive, but I call her passive aggressive.
Yeah, you mean she sulks?
No, she'll plop herself down in the nest box, even if she's not laying any eggs, she'll just sit there as long as she knows that everybody else wants to lay an egg.
Oh, yeah, so she's taking space from them?
Yeah, she takes space from them, and she, right now out in the yard, she's following very closely. She follows Daisy around, and to look at them, you'd think they were friends, but deep down, Lil White is really only following Daisy around because Daisy's the one who spies the worm first.
Oh, yeah.
So she follows her everywhere just so that she can whack her on the head with her beak and grab that worm from her.
I was going to ask if you were speaking of Lil White. Now, you said the proper way to say her name is with Southern accent.
Yeah, Lil White. Well, she's stunning. And again, Bob, she's 5 years old. I think, you know, you can expect a chicken to live, maybe 5 to 9 years old, I guess.
Yeah.
So she's technically an old lady. She is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And she knows it. And she needs no one, and she cares about no one but herself. And, yeah, so we call her Lil White.
Yeah, that's...
Just seems like a little Southern diva, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's Lucy, who had and continues to have beautiful friendships with flockmates.
Oh, I like those friendships that she had. That was really interesting.
Yeah, that was the biggest surprise to me was just looking at them, thinking, you know, I'm not reading into this. This is really happening. Lucy really does. Lucy and Hatsy, they are best friends. They do things for each other. They mean a lot to each other. They care about each other. There was one evening when Hatsy wasn't feeling well. The sun was going down. I was inside and forgot to keep an eye on the girls, and they had been free-ranging, and any chicken in their right mind is going to go straight to the coop at sunset, because that's what chickens do, to be safe and inside by dusk. But Hatsy wasn't well, and she couldn't make it to the coop. She was sort of standing in the middle of the yard sleeping. And Lucy, who was perfectly ambulatory at that time, Lucy chose, rather than to go home to the coop where she'd be safe, Lucy chose to stand outside in the dark beside her friend.
Yeah, I thought that was a really affecting part of the book.
I think about it still. I think about all those instances in the book where I have not made this up. There is no other explanation except that these birds feel very strongly about each other.
Well, you know, that incident made me think of something that happened to us just last fall, and it was just that we have to keep our animals penned up all the time because we've had problems with a mink.
Oh,
but
wow.
We have a back pen, though, where while we are doing maintenance in their pen, you're filling their pool, they go into this back pen, and there's more vegetation there. In the temperate months, there's no vegetation in their main pen because they've eaten every single scrap of everything. So I was shooing them into the barn at night, and these are mostly ducks. And Ginger, our buff Orpington hen, just stayed in the back pen, and I couldn't figure out why until I went back and kind of hidden by some of these weeds that have grown up, there was a duck who hadn't come in yet. And I thought vaguely at the time, now she's not really friends with the ducks, but still, I thought vaguely at the time, I wonder if she was back here to tell me I'm leaving somebody out. And now after reading your book, I think I'm kind of sure of that it was, you know, she was at least telling me, hey, don't miss this one.
Yeah, and you know, Bob, I think they tell us things often, and we choose whether we have the time to, or the interest to listen, you know. And once I saw things like this happening all the time, I went and got a little stool, a little plastic stool that's out in the chicken run all the time. So it's an invitation to me when I go out there, a reminder for me to sit down with the gals.
Yeah, we have chairs out too. Yeah.
And when you do sit down and they do come wandering over to you, or they ignore you, or they have a squabble with each other, no matter what's happening, there's something always to notice within 10 minutes. I feel like I've got a whole other blog story to write now.
And it's also, it just puts you in a different world. And so it kind of takes me out of, you know, what other little problems I have or little, you know, story I'm working on or something like that. It's kind of nice to have this different world to immerse myself in.
Right. It's like your 10-minute vacation. And it sure beats, before chickens, I had Marky out there, my dog, always wanting me to play with him. And I had my garden hoe and my trowel and 50 million weeds to pluck. But the chickens brought, I don't know, this is their world, maybe. So when I'm going outside now, when the chickens are with me, either gardening or hanging out, I'm in their world rather than my backyard.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's great.
Yeah. Well, I think we're getting all cerebral here.
No, I like it. I like it. And believe it or not, we are out of time. We've done our half hour. It's great talking to you. I want to remind everyone the name of the book, and that is Once Upon a Flock, Life with My Soulful Chickens by Lauren Scheuer, S-C-H-E-U-E-R. And go to her website, laurenscheuer.com. And you can find this book everywhere. It's Simon & Schuster. And you got to get it. You've never seen anything like it. And you will just absolutely delight in this book. It's great. So thanks, Lauren. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you. It's been great talking with you, Bob.
Yeah. And thanks to my producer, Mark Winter. And my listeners, please send me an email at bob@petliferadio.com. So that's it for this week. Bye-bye.
Thinking about buying a monkey? How about a ferret or a skunk? Then check out the show that will answer the burning questions: where do you get them? What do you feed them? How do you take care of them? And most of all, what were you thinking? With exotic pet expert and author Bob Tart, every week on demand from PetLifeRadio.com.